There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, let's do this. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch with us at 251. So the phone number and the text line are the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. But the phone line is going to be the only way that this hour you win tickets. Now, text line is always popping, but using the good old-fashioned telephone, at some point this hour, I got a family four-pack of tickets to the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo. That's coming up September 11th, 12th, and 13th out at the grounds. Got a family four-pack of tickets for you sometime this hour, but we will do that on the telephone. You will call at that point. I'll tell y'all at that point. But, yeah, keep it ready. Keep it handy. All right, without any further delay, my friend, and he should be y'all's, Kyle Hambrick from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, joins us. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's pretty good. It's on a Thursday. You got big stories. We were talking about lanyapmobile.com, how many stories come out, you know, during the in-between from the printed paper, and there's a ton of them. Right. You have big stories people are talking about, and I think this is it. This is probably the biggest story everybody's talking about, so I want an update that the Mobile City Council has amended the proposed pet rules. Oh, did you think I was going to ask about something else?
Well, no, because this is really, you know, the cat's meow of Mobile nowadays.
Yeah.
These pet rules that they got that are in the works here. There were a number of chip changes made, you know, after we heard from some concerned folks. They have made some changes to remove the list of high-risk, absolutely dangerous dogs from the ordinance. That got a lot of folks worked up. They have also made it clear that, you know, you can have, you know, like a large number of dogs and cats on your property as long as they're spayed, neutered, chipped, what have you. And this is a plan that could be voted on by the city council in the coming weeks. I don't think it's going to happen next week, but these are some new pet rules that are going in the works, and it seems like they've finally got them to a place where most everybody is happy.
Okay, so the dog breed thing, and we get to the others, but mm-hmm. the dog breed thing. So what did they amend? Is it still the same dogs?
Well,
or?
What was in there was like a list of all these dogs
that's
that have
right.
been marked by insurance companies as being high risk, like pit bulls, Dobermans,
Rottweilers,
stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, Rottweilers and the like. So what they did to, you know, to get rid of those concerns entirely was they just cut that part from the ordinance, cut the list out, and said now that a high-risk pet is one that has, you know, bitten somebody or some other creature without provocation. And then they've also got this one was neat to me, too, was they included the exotic pets
yes.
as high risk.
How do monkeys come into this? What about monkeys?
Yeah. Well, we've seen in the news lots of monkey-related antics. But the way it worked at first, what I thought was funny was they defined an exotic pet as a pet that is not a dog or a cat. So your gerbil, your goldfish, your great-grandma's bird that just won't die, that is an exotic pet. And it's also under the umbrella of high risk. So that beautiful betta fish that you got on your desk, you better keep one eye out for it because it is a high-risk pet.
Wait, now, how did they not – I mean, in a session when they're talking about this, did nobody just raise their hand and say – should we have another category, you know, for the fish in the aquarium? That if we got a real news story, if a fish in an aquarium gets somebody, I was walking by the aquarium, man, and here came that, Oscar cichlid and just attacked me.
Yeah, just unprovoked, no warning, nothing. So they have heard the concerns on that one, and they tweaked it to just say, you know, an exotic pet. You know, they're kind of separate from high risk, and it's a monkey, a ferret, a lizard, stuff like that. So that's kind of where we are now. We have, you know, made these chip changes. You know, the most concerned folks went to the council meeting and said, these are some changes that we could live with. There may be more changes coming, and we'll see on that, but the way things are now, these pet rules should be voted into effect, not this week, but maybe the week after.
So what does it do now that, I mean, you know, you talked about the exotic now being replaced with monkeys, snakes, ferrets, and any other poisonous or venomous animal. If somebody has something that fits in that, what do they have to do? Is there any change here to, like, do they have to identify that they're a monkey house?
Yeah, well, for a monkey house, I think that you get into some other rules here. You know, I think there's some federal stuff there. But as far as the city goes, those definitions are purely for, you know, just for eye identification. There's not a license or something that you got to get from the city for your monkey or your poisonous snake. You will have to get a license or a microchip for your dog or cat. But right now, this just kind of serves like they wanted to clean up some of the language. And the main thing of the ordinance is it comes up with some steeper fines and some harsher penalties for, you know, just being an irresponsible pet owner is what, you know, the mayor has said and the folks at the council have said. But as far as these distinctions go, that really doesn't change life for you. It just kind of, you know, it lets the animal control folks what they're getting into if they have to come to your house because the monkeys have taken over and tried to reenact the Planet of the Apes.
I've raised some children. It was like that often in my house. It was, the monkeys had taken over. All right. Yeah. But you said that's not to be expected next week, maybe the week after for council.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Okay. So from Mobile to the city of Pritchard, and I mean, another day, another story here. This one just breaking today on the mediation that was, to try to bring the mayor and the council together here? What happened?
That's right. That's right. So this is a lawsuit that the mayor filed, claiming that the council was going beyond its power, trying to look into the finances of the city. This case was ordered to go to mediation for the five members of the city council and for Mayor Davis to come together to work it out. Found out this morning that mediation was not successful, and, you know, we're going to go forward with like a legal solution to the problems that are going on between the leaders of Pritchard. This was because they've been involved in some bickering, you know, since, you know, for months now. They've been engaged in a back and forth over the finances. This mediation was supposed to address that, and it appears that did not take place. So this legal battle will keep going between the between the leaders of Pritchard.
Wow. I mean, at the same time, we're looking at the deadline. If I do understand it might be part of a negotiation, but if I believe everything at face value, coming up September 4th, There won't be a Pritchard Police Department, even though the mayor says you're going to rebuild, but they won't be there then, and then the Sheriff's Department will pull back. I don't think that's a good thing.
It does not look to be a very good thing, but this deadline of September 4th, Sheriff Birch told me, is flexible. As long as he sees that there's some movement by the mayor and by the council to make a deal with MCSO for the everyday policing in Pritchard, just as long as that deal is in the works, he said that, you know, we're going to be willing to work with them. We are going to, be flexible so that they can get that deal done. Right now, the city of Pritchard wants to rebuild its police department, and they're trying to figure out how they can afford the millions of dollars that it will take to contract with the sheriff while trying to make sure that we still have some money left over to hire a police chief. All of this comes as, you know, word got out that the mayor plans to put the entirety of the Pritchard Police Department on leave. Not sure what kind of leave that is. Not sure if it would be paid or unpaid. But the Pritchard police aren't doing much now to begin with, because the sheriff is running all the law enforcement in the city. There's a lot of confusion with all of this, but the mayor has said that we're working towards some kind of deal with the sheriff and a plan to just kind of, you know, clean house and rebuild the police department.
All right, and on to the cover story of this week's Lanyap. And I think there's a couple people out there talking about this. It's so big of a story that you teamed up with Scott, you and Scott Johnson, for a story about flock cameras.
Yeah. This was something that I'd heard just a few whispers on. And I really felt that, you know, this issue should be brought to light, you know, for the rest of the public to look into it and learn about it. Me and Scott looked into the usage of the controversial Flock brand cameras all over Mobile and Baldwin counties. There's a crowdsourced map that claims to have a list of all the flocks in the city of Mobile. So I tried to drive around town, see if I can find them. It's not as many as they had said. You know, there's a few flocks on like some private property that's used for the security there, but there's a lot of cameras all over town. You know, it's kind of unclear what they're used for, except that they're being used by the police, you know, as part of their Project Shield city surveillance thing. So that's what we tried to look into here and find out. The city of Mobile does not use Flock brand license plate reader cameras, but the city of Gulf Shores does. And it's a different story there. They've got 80 something, and there's been a lot of opposition to those. It's a really neat story, and it just kind of sets the scene of where we are with these things.
Is Flock the way people use? They say Kleenex when we're talking about tissue. I mean, is it a brand name? Because there could be cameras that do the same thing that just aren't called. Just a brand, right? I mean, it's
right. Flock is a brand of camera. It's most typically what they call a LPR, which is a license plate reader. And it's a camera that kind of, you know, that scans your car as you drive by, and it makes a note of your license plate. That information is then shared in a cloud system with law enforcement of all levels. And it's been used to find missing persons, find stolen cars. There's been some reports that it's been used by ICE, and that it's been wrongly used by, you know, some cops in other jurisdictions to stalk their exes or some other folks that they want to keep tabs on. So there's some questions of the security of all this. That's what the folks on the council in Mobile have said, is that, you know, this is something, it's all about who owns the data, who has the access. And I think that, you know, with some of the reporting that I've seen from Montgomery, this could be something that state lawmakers will look into this coming year in the new session.
Yeah, you know, I think about it this way, too. I don't know the full veracity of this, but discussion of, like, bumper stickers, that it can index that, mm-hmm. and they could be searchable yeah. by what bumper sticker's on there. The other part of this, we talk about the law enforcement angle, but since this is a private company, I wonder these companies would be selling to, you think the algorithm, you know, you think about something and it's the advertisement for it's on your phone, but I wonder if they do that, if they say, mm-hmm. okay, there are people that have this sticker or this kind of vehicle in this metro, so now we're going to serve them ads based on what these cameras are doing, monitoring public thoroughfares.
Yeah, I don't think that we've gotten to that point yet, but we all also have all kinds of cameras and things in our pockets that keep track of this stuff mm-hmm. for us, too, which it raises some questions of, you know, how much privacy do you expect when you go out in public? I mean, there's all kinds of cameras all over the place. We've got our phones. They listen to us and they show us ads. Those are the questions that folks are wondering. As for Flock, I don't believe that information is being used to, like, send you know, ads for cool shirts or boots or stuff. I mean, that's the things that I like.
That's what I get, too. I get tractors, boots, and shirts. That's exactly what I get.
Yeah, that's what I get. And I've not, you know, I've not seen, like, a Flock camera, like, zoom in on what I'm wearing and, you know, that show up later on my Facebook feed. It's definitely getting some data and sharing it with law enforcement, and how that is being used is up to those law enforcement folks. I mean, they are trying to put up some safeguards there, but we'll see if those are enough to calm the fears.
And also, when you read that story and you go through on the landnetmobile.com, you can click a link there that takes you to a map of where Flock cameras or those kind of cameras yes. are in our area. And I realize I run two gauntlets on the way home. Two of the intersections yeah. I go through are heavily surveilled.
Flocked up.
Yeah, they are flocked up. And y'all can check that out when you go through the link over at landnetmobile.com. Tell people how to sign up.
Absolutely. You need to head to landnetmobile.com as soon as I get off of the air, find a subscription that works best for you, and get to reading. We've got stuff coming out all the time. Landnetmobile.com.
As always, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll talk boots later.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
There goes Kyle, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 128, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. By the way, too, yeah, you go through that story there. There's a link to this D-Flock maps. And they show where the cameras are. So I guess if you're trying to stay away from them, it's interesting for me. So I drive Airport Boulevard every day, and I've got I need to add one more. So I have I'm flocked three different places here. So that's okay. Yeah, I thought it was just two, but no, I'm flocked right here, pretty close to the not right here at the station, but let's see, fairly close to the station. Got a flock camera there. Then as you move on out, I'm hitting them, Schillinger and Snow. And, it's pretty interesting to see where the cameras are mapped on there. You can link through from the story Kyle has up, he and Scott, the cover story of this week's Lanyap. Let's see the text line here. Let me get to a few of these. We'll go to the news. Michael said, just curious, if I happen to have a few kids who identify as monkeys sometimes, could I possibly get into trouble if they're out on the front porch and not leashed? Or would it be okay if I just had a monkey house sign up and my little monkeys are out on the porch? These are fair questions. And I was, I shouldn't be surprised that I have monkey children, as I was a monkey child, as my father used to say. He said monkey to me about 20. He also would use it as a verb and a noun and an adverb. So yeah, I probably should have been leashed.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This is a good time for you to be caller number 6 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 6, family 4-pack of tickets to the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo. It's coming up September 11th, 12th, and 13th. Caller number 6 at 251-343-0106. You get that family 4-pack of tickets. Plus, we'll see you out there at the event. This show, Midday Mobile, will be out there on that Friday, and then we'll have a special FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on-site at the Expo, so come out and see us. Good luck on the tickets. All right, to the text line here. Get caught up. Let's see. C.B. Carl said, back in the early 70s when we lived in Coral Springs, you could buy a piranha. This is Coral Springs, Florida. You could buy a piranha in the pet store, just saying. Yeah, that was a problem, too, South Florida. People would buy stuff and then turn them loose, and, well, now look what we have. Remember down there, of course, pythons are a big story now. But, you know, I got family there and lived down there when I was little, when I was young. But they had the walking catfish. Have you ever seen these things? So you get a rain down there, and these catfish would come out of lakes and walk themselves in a way with their pectoral fins and kind of kicking with their tail. They'd walk themselves over to another body of water. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, I've witnessed it. Walking catfish down there. So can you imagine piranha? People turn piranha loose in the water down there. Piranha was remember that was a big thing, 70s and 80s. It's actually one of the classic films, although there's some racy stuff I didn't know about. I sat down with my youngest and said, let's watch this, because he likes bad movies like his dad does. I mean, I will watch some movies if they're ridiculous. And I said, let's check out this Piranha movie. And, I said, you'll love it because it's really bad. Or actually, I think we then watched Piranha 2, The Spawning, where they fly. And you can see the fishing line from the piranha they're supposed to be flying. It's so bad. It's so very, very good. But yeah, if the piranha had been out there, it'd be your fault, C.B. Carl. Squirrel Vereen, between flock and Iran, a flock of seagulls should be having a good year. That's very funny. Flock of seagulls, and remember, Iran so far away. By the way, congratulations. It looks like Ronnie picked up the family 4-pack of tickets to the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo coming up September 11th through the 13th. Got another chance to win coming up very soon. Probably do another 4-pack tomorrow. And put that on your to-do list coming up in September. It'll be here before you know it. Let's see. Tim says, I was listening to this guy the other day that was on Jeff's show, and he thinks he can stop the power company from putting cameras on their poles if the city wants to have them. That's part of that story. If you read over at lanyapmobile.com, the one we were just talking about, it talks about some of that collaboration on where to put these things. It says here in the story, Alabama Department of Transportation spokesman James Gordon said some of the cameras seen in Midtown downtown belong to State Highway Agency, and are used for real-time traffic detection and traffic research. The devices don't permanently record videos of motorists. That's one that we use those here when we talk about traffic, the ALDOT traffic cams. But it says further, Alabama Power did not return a request for comment after an anonymous source suggested the company has installed surveillance cameras on its utility poles and allowed locals to access their camera recordings for a fee. Says a similar request for comment to the Alabama Public Service Commission, wait on, Chairwoman Cynthia Allman was also not returned. The PSC is just doing great, aren't they? I don't know if that's for sure that Alabama Power has it on their poles, but we will look. Now that I've got that map, Tim, that was linked through in the Lanyap story, and I can see where the dots are, where the cameras are. And like I said, I had to run a gauntlet on the way home. I'll go look at what they're hanging on. I mean, the ones I see around town, I think have all been on city infrastructure, but I'm not going to say that's a fact. It's just what I think I've seen. Let's see. Unnamed texter. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought when a city in Mobile County is unable to provide police protection for its citizens, the Mobile County Sheriff's Department has a responsibility to step in and provide police protection without the elected sheriff personally deciding if he will or will not provide the police services. Texter, that's kind of how I understand it as well. Because the sheriff's department could operate even inside a municipality, right? Because it's the overlay for sheriff's departments, the entire county. That's why they can go in and out of municipalities and all that. I think it's the level of service that the sheriff is talking about. Said they still will be there for major crimes investigations and something else, but they will, I guess, in the conversation we had yesterday, they still will be able to go through there and patrol, but there won't be like patrols, is the way I'm understanding it. And the way I understand it as well, what about misdemeanor calls? I don't know who's going to respond to that. So I don't know. But hopefully we'll get some more answers on this. And I do think there's probably some negotiation going on here. You know, we'll leave on September 4th unless you can come up with the money. And now the mayor's saying, well, we're going to rebuild the police department. But how long would that take? I mean, this is a story from WKRG. He said, Pritchard's mayor is finally offering clarity about the future of the city's police department. After weeks of uncertainty, she decided to rebuild the department in the wake of widespread corruption investigation. Mayor did not grant interviews or call a news conference. Instead, she tagged WKRG and other news stations on Facebook to announce comprehensive review and rebuilding process. You probably, the Facebook thing, I mean, come on. Don't complain to me about data centers and say you're doing your press release to Facebook. It says here, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch said the mayor came to him Wednesday to talk about what comes next. Birch said, we've had multiple discussions, but you know, that in the past may have not been as productive. But we had a really good meeting this morning, and I think we're heading in a good direction. Sheriff Birch said Mayor Davis asked for deputies to continue to patrol our city after the September 4th deadline the sheriff set to pull out. To make that happen, they must finalize an official agreement, then get approval from Pritchard City Council. Remember the earlier story, the mayor and the city council were in a mediation that fell apart. I mean, they're adverse to each other. So how's that going to work? Birch went on to say, we can't continue to do what we're doing without some funding and to hire additional deputies. So, you know, I really want to reiterate that, you know, this doesn't benefit us financially whatsoever, but the county commission has to fund it before we can hire more deputies. And that will be the only way we can continue doing what we're doing, end quote. So I don't know what's happening. It's, if you go to rebuild a police department, like Mayor Davis is saying, how long does that take? I don't think that's a quick. Where are you getting officers from? And enough of them. And not going back to, are you going to rehire the people that have already been there? Because, I mean, I think it was definitive when Sheriff Birch on the show a month or two ago had said something. Somebody had asked on the text line, I think, and said, well, what will happen with the people that work for Pritchard PD? Would you employ them? He said no. He said no. So I don't know. I don't know what this one is. Let's see. Unnamed texter. So I'm transmental and identify as a bighorn sheep. Am I good? Well, I think generally you're fine, yes. Let's see. Motorman, you should try Zombever movie. It's funny bad. There's nudity in it, though. Well, you know what I'll do? As a dad, I'll watch it myself first. Is nudity good? And then before I let my kids watch that. Let's see. Sean said that movie had me terrified when I was a kid. Was it Piranha or Piranha 2 The Spawning? Or both of them? Yeah, Piranha was the big deal. And speaking of exotic pets, now I have yet to see it. I've heard discussion of this, and I've heard discussion of this right here at the station because Dalton has been watching this Monsters of God documentary series. So these are the people that like did Chimp Empire. The same team, and it says Monsters of God documentary series directed and executively produced by Eric Good, follows the underworld of exotic reptile smuggling based on Brian Christie's nonfiction book, The Lizard King, The True Crimes and Passions of the World's Greatest Reptile Smugglers. But there's a lot of this in South Florida, C.B. Carl. I do want to watch it. It's on my list. I will watch that. Because the Chimp Empire stuff, not Chimp Empire, Chimp Crazy that they did was one of the craziest documentaries I've ever seen. Let's see. Scott said, Nile crocodiles are the latest thing in the Everglades, not really being talked about too much. Florida Wildlife has a shoot-on-site order for them. They have no natural predators and are not scared of humans like American crocodiles are. Now, my worry about that, Scott, is do they know the difference? Right? And people sometimes be surprised. There's no native crocodiles in the United States. Actually, there are. In a little fringe down there in extreme South Florida, I know one of the bays down at Flamingo in Everglades National Park that we used to canoe through to get to a place to try to catch snook when I was down there, had a bunch of them. They were crocodiles, but they're not Nile crocodiles. So some genius has turned loose Nile crocodiles in the Glades. Great. Perfect. But yeah, I'd have to go back and see. Right now, sitting here, I could identify an alligator versus a crocodile very easily, but a Nile crocodile versus an American saltwater crocodile, I don't know that I could do that, Scott. But great, we got crocodiles there. Maybe they'll eat the pythons. I don't know. Don, I thought about this exact thing because they're actually working on power poles by my house. Don said, hey, Sean, I've got an easement pole going down to my home. You reckon I could have Alabama Power put a block, maybe flock camera on it so I could deer hunt with it this year? Maybe something to ponder. Yeah, I thought about that. What do you do? Can you invite a flock camera in? I'm going to think if you just got to live in the country, got a little easement, it's not going to be worth their money. But hey, you can always ask. All right, 148, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Aldo Nova on a Thursday afternoon. That's a good thing. 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Thank you, Michael. Michael said... said this better than I did, so let me just read his text to the question from earlier. Said the Sheriff's Department doesn't provide the same type of services as MPD does. Just think of sheriffs providing similar services as it does in Wilmer, and they've been functioning in Pritchard recently like MPD does in Mobile. Perfect. I don't have to add anything else. Michael said it better than I did, so thank you, Michael. Let's see, CB Carl, we lived on one of the canals that used to drain into the Everglades and fill it with... fill it in with ground-up coral reefs, such as Coral Springs. Sometimes we'd have little alligators chasing walking catfish around our yard. You know, Liz, we talk about the South Florida thing. Now, Scott has pointed out that they found Nile crocodiles, and I looked that up. So, yes, they've been found them here and there. They're saying they don't believe there's a breeding population. Oh, come on. It says, I think if it's warm enough for them to live, it's going to be warm enough for them to, you know, do some he-in and a she-in. And there you go. I mean, you look at what's happened down there, too. There's a discussion of, it was an in-depth on, like, and this is, yes, this is on brand for me. It was about how hunting has been really reduced in some of the state management areas around Everglades National Park, where they, deer populations have dropped so much that I think they're not having seasons there. And they said that, like, all kind of, like, mesopredators, like raccoons and possums, populations have dropped. I'm talking about, like, 75-85% because just the pythons there. And they're worried about it, too, because, you know, you got the restoration of the Florida panthers, and they need deer to eat, and there's not enough deer for them to eat. But, yeah, and now we put some crocodiles there. Yeah, but the weird thing is with invasive species, we all talk about, invasive species are bad. But let's think about South Florida for a second there, CB Carl. Walking catfish, I really, you know, They were kind of an anomaly to see them down there. But peacock bass are in all the canals down there and the lakes down there, and I absolutely love to catch them when I'm down there. Love to fish for them. They're a lot of fun. They're beautiful fish. You know, they're aggressive. They're not from here, right? So, but people don't say get rid of the peacock bass or in cold water, right? But you go up to Tennessee, you go up to the Smokies, and you're going to be catching brown trout, which are from Europe, rainbow trout, the west slope of the United States. The only thing that should be there is brook trout, right? Which is not even a trout, it's a char. But so it's interesting. I mean, pheasants, that's an invasive species, right? But we don't, so we, there's some we want to keep and some we don't want to get rid of. I mean, it's always interesting. People say, get rid of all the invasive species. I'll go, well, let's go through all those. If I had to choose one or the other, have it the way it is now or get rid of all the invasives, I'd get rid of all the invasives and just take what we got. Buddy says, can we get some of those Nile crocs on Dolphin Island to eat the foxes and feral cats and then no more Roxy? Come on, buddy. That's not very nice. Moz says, during spring training back in the 80s, there was a canal behind our hotel. In the afternoons, we would fish in the canal. We bashed to have an aquarium catalog with us and try to identify what the heck we were catching. Yes, people just poured their aquariums, and there's all kind of cool fish out there. I mean, the one that probably gets the most attention are peacock bass down there, but people just, you turn stuff loose. We hadn't even done the discussion about the pythons either in a long time. I'll say this here, too. Let me go back to Michael said, they're cane toads, still a big thing down there. They used to make the dogs go nuts. Yes, absolutely. Those giant toads. Yes, they're still down there. He said, there's an awesome account on X to follow called Python Hunter. I follow him on Instagram. He says he hunts down pythons and iguanas from a boat with dogs. Yeah, he uses a relative of the German shorthair pointer, the German wirehair, to do his catch, retrieve, and treeing of iguanas. This is cool. Hey, check him out. Python Hunter is fun to watch. But the different species, the python thing discussion we had was, and I think I had this with Chuck Sykes on the Outdoor Show one time, who was head of wildlife and freshwater fisheries for a long time. And the way natural selection works, that you get cold years, right? We've had a couple cold outbreaks, actually made it down to Florida. You get these, this should, you think, keep the population in check. It does knock out a lot of them, but the snakes that are left have shown proclivity to be able to survive colder temps than the tropics. So each generation, subsequent generation, is line bred to be a bit more adaptable to the cold. And if you project that, it's not, I don't think it's happening today, but the scientists have projected, if that's true, you know, that only the pythons left after a big cold outbreak were the ones that genetically somehow could handle cold better than the others. And they get to Heian and Ashian, and their youngins are getting it from mom and dad that they have a better proclivity to survive the cold. And then does that move that line further up the Florida Peninsula? And when do they get to a point where they can now handle the cold north of Ocala and go up to Plant City? I mean, how far north can they go? I don't know. Let's see. Jim B. said, I know the pythons are causing havoc in South Florida. Why didn't the state just have a year-long open season and bounty on them instead of having so many restrictions? I think they do. I think it's year-round on the python, and they actually have like rodeos. I think they probably call them something else down there, tournaments or whatever, big python tournaments with winnings. They kill the heck out of them, but they still can't, you know, it's not as easy as killing the heck out of something you can see on the landscape more easily. A python, you know, could be hidden, could be underwater, could be up in a tree. I don't know if they could ever get them all killed out. But yeah, not to scare anybody, but yes, that discussion, I should go find that old interview. We talked about the science of it, where conceivably the pythons that are left after every cold outbreak down there, because cold does make it to South Florida. I've been down there. If it's 55 degrees, ladies break out fur jackets, which is funny. But every time it gets cold down there and kills some pythons, the ones that are left are the ones that can do the cold thing better. And then their babies can do it better. And, well, there you go. I don't know when they're going to arrive here, but just saying. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. We'll see y'all tomorrow.